Just thank the Lord that He's willing to be there for us. Because He don't have to. He don't have to be there for us. Yeah, because He knows exactly what I'm going to be doing next week, and I don't even know what I'm going to be doing in the next 5 minutes. Oh me, yeah, I tell you. Well, really, if we come down to it and think about it, none of us are really doing all that well. Because every day that passes, we'll continue deteriorating. And these old bodies, they just getting older, they decaying. But one of these days, we're going to get to heaven. And I'm not going to be 65 going on 66. And I'm not going to be 190 when I feel like I'm 190. I'm going to be 33. I'm going to be 33 years and 4 months. He said, where'd you get that from? From God's word. Because that was the last time that anybody ever saw Jesus. It was when he was that age, 33, in a third year. Some people, they say, I don't believe that. I don't no more believe that than a man in the moon. You're going to get to heaven, you're going to be 33. I said, well, have you been to heaven yet? I said, well, don't say it's not true, because you don't know. The ones that do know, you can't talk to them now. Oh, me. I tell you. Tonight, let's turn to the book of, let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. You know, we can think about some things. We can think about what we would do in a circumstance if we was there. We don't know what we would do until we had got to that point in our life, until we was facing this circumstance. But you know, this morning, as I was watching the news and everything, and each one of you know what's happened today at the quarter to 7 this morning, where it was 2 individuals that lost their lives this morning because they were just doing their job. And it was just an interview. It wasn't nothing going out here and trying to film something where they didn't had riots or nothing like that. But as the day went on, I got to thinking about one thing that, and I know what they meant, but they did not really come out and really say it. And I know that they said that they was telling everybody to remember the young lady and the young man that got shot and got killed. Remember their family, their friends, their co-workers. But you know, nobody else mentioned anything at all that I heard about the individual that done the shooting. They didn't mention their family. And we need to pray for their his family, because they don't know what was going on. They don't know what was going on in his head. And you know, and really when we come right down to it and think about it, I don't know what's going in your head. You don't know what's going through in my head. But one thing we can honestly say, that when it comes to the mind of an individual, it is powerful. It is powerful. And we know in God's word that God has also taught us, and he tells us that we need to have the mind of Christ. And if we have the mind of Christ, then we won't worry about having to do the acts that go on today. But we see today that more and more people, and more individuals that we thought at one time was in the house of God, and they were serving God, we thought, but we really don't know. We don't know who they were serving. We speculate that they were serving God because of the way they acted. But you know, you go ahead, you can act any way you want to. You can act all goody-good and two-shoe and all that mess and all that. But really, we don't know what goes on within the mind of the individual. The mind will overtake our bodies. Our mind will overtake our thoughts, overtake our heart, will overtake each aspect of our life to the point that we don't even know what's happening. And thinking about that, I believe really there's a whole lot of individuals out here that are doing things that they don't even realize what they're doing. We have people like his that turned their back on God, and I don't think they've realized it. Now, how many of you know right now, know for a fact, and individuals at one time would be here in the house of God? Now, I'm not talking about the ones that has left, that has gone on, and that another church. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones that was here in the house of God, and they was here and when the doors was open. But yet now, where are they at now? They've got so caught up with the things of the world that they forgot about whom they were serving. Galatians chapter 4, and it says in verse 1, it says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutor and governor until the time appointed unto the Father. Even we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know, and when an individual will read that, and if they just read that, and if they really haven't prayed and asked God to help them and to teach them what the verses are saying, because we have the word son there, S-O-N. But the son right here does not mean just the Son of God. It's also speaking about the Christian. It's also speaking about the S-O-N, the son, a male individual. And we see also the S-O-N is speaking of the female individual. Why? Because they all became, they all come from the Son of God. But we, now in verse 1 says, now I say that the heirs, as long as he is a child, different nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. We have got to the point that we don't let people know that they have something I hear that is better than what the world can offer them. The world has so much to offer today, and the people are blinded to the fact that that's what they want. They want something that somebody can give them. And they don't realize what Jesus done for them. And the reason they don't is because they can't see it. They can't see it with their natural eye. Now, if they could if they ever get saved and have the blood applied to their life, and if they ask the Lord Jesus Christ to touch their eyes, spiritually speaking, touch their eyes, then they will not see nothing else but what the world has to offer, because they can see that. It's just like talking about the when Jesus was at the well, and when the lady come to the well, and she come to the well that time, and when she come to draw water from the well, because she was thirsty. What Jesus told her says, now you drank of this water I give of you, you'll never thirst. That would be just like me standing up here today and saying, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst. But even though you can see this water that I'm holding, you say, well, that's 12 ounces of water. When I get through with that bottle of water, within a day or two,
all week. I'm gonna need something else to refresh me. I'm gonna need some more water. That is one thing that we cannot live without, is water. Yes, we can live without food, but we cannot live without water. And that's what Jesus was explaining to this lady there at the well that day. If you drink of the water that's in this well, you were sure to thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give of you, you'll never thirst. And then she come back and she asked him, so I can imagine how she, what she said. I mean, I know what we have in scripture, but I'm just, an individual. I said, well, you know, I can see the water. I can take this bucket and I can let this bucket down and I can pull that bucket back up. And it's heavier pulling it back up now than it was when I took it and I lifted it and put it over the well and I dropped the bucket. It's heavier. And it's water in it. And you telling me that I will thirst again. I will thirst again if I take of this water. And he said, yes. But if you take of the water that I give you, you will never thirst. What he was trying to explain to her, it's not what you see, it's what you believe. That's the way the world like is today. They look at it as if they can't see it, then I want a part of it. But how many of you in here know for the fact that when you got over that point, and when you gave your heart and your life to Jesus, didn't he give you a spiritual eyesight? Can't you see Jesus through his precious word? Can't you see some things that he says in his word that you did not and could not see before? We see of all the things that he has done for me. And all the things that he's done for you. We can see that. I can see that. I can experience that. How? By faith. And it's not through what I believe. And it's not by my works. But it's by my faith that I have in him. That I put my faith in him. That what he said he would do, he done it. And he done it for me. This word right here told me that if I come and if I drink of his water that he gives me, that I will never thirst. But see, she didn't believe that. But not only that, she went, I mean, he said, well, you're living with a man now, it's not your husband. And he told her all things. Just like when he was speaking to Mary and Martha there. And when Martha was in the kitchen there, when she was cleaning up the kitchen, and when she was making everything, she was probably dusting and making sure everything was in order, in proper order and everything. Because why? Because the Lord Jesus was in the house. But where was Mary at? Mary was at the feet of Jesus. That's what she was concerned. She wanted to be right there where he was at. So he looked at her and he said, he was really more concerned over Martha and what Martha was missing. Because Mary was there and she was receiving all the blessings. That's just like Paul on the road to Damascus. I believe I said it Sunday. You know, when the Shekinah glory come down from heaven, and when it touched Paul, when it just touched him, he knew something had touched him. He knew something had overshadowed him than he ever overshadowed him before. Why? Because Paul had come to the realization in his own life that what he was doing, he couldn't get no happiness from it. I mean, we at times, we can do things and we feel that sense of loneliness in us. And what it is a sense of the lack of love, the lack of concern for others, because we don't really love God all that much. An individual that truly loves God, is going to want to do everything that God wants them to do. Is going to pray for people that they don't even know anything about. Hey, just like today and this morning. I mean, before it ever went to, before Fox News ever really got on it and really started broadcasting it, and they broadcasted just about all day. But the vice president of the Channel News 7 said this after they had been on the air and everything, and it was about sometime around 10 o'clock, I believe it was, that they was talking about the well-wishing. The people that was calling in, sending notes to them on Facebook and Twitter and email and stuff like that, and just letting the people know there at WDBJ 7 that they was praying for them and they was praying for their families. And they said, and the vice president come about and says, you know, it's just not the people in this area. And it's just not the people that look at Channel 7 news during the day and during the weeks and everything. But he says, we've got emails letters from on Facebook and Twitter from overseas. I think one of them was in Australia and one was in somewhere else there, overseas. The people overseas was sending them condolences and telling them, we're praying for y'all. Because we know that the staff has got to be going through some hard times now. But see, that was aired. It was on the air. I mean, the cameraman was right there. When the individual pulled the trigger and shot the girl and killed her, and then turned around and shot him. And she, and then the other lady that there was interviewing shot her, and she was shot in the back. But people around the world, see, it's just not right here. It just don't affect the neighborhood around here. It affects other nations. It affects other places around the world. Even what's happened here in the United States of America. And all of what has went wrong with America, it's not just affecting just us here in America. It's affecting other nations also. And we need to get our heads back, screwed on the right way. And we need not to be a timid Christian. We should not be so timid that we're scared to speak up. You know, some things I just don't understand. One thing I don't understand, but I have to go with it. But what I don't understand, really, and if anybody could help me with this, I sure would appreciate it. But what I don't understand is, I don't understand why the God that we serve, why is He leaving us here? Why hasn't He come back? And why hasn't He just stepped from His throne room there in heaven and went over to the corner of heaven? He says, "Son, go get your people. Go get my people. They're having it rough. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do anymore. It's killing on every side. I can't comprehend all of that. If I was overseas, maybe I could. Because overseas, you've got some of the countries over, that's all they know about. It's killing. Unless they get up in the morning and they got something else on their mind besides going out there and murdering somebody. They just might well just stay at home and don't do nothing no more. That's the mentality that they got. But I don't understand why somebody wants to come and take somebody else's life. But I do know this, and I believe this is where the United States of America has failed in so many different ways. It's when America, and this was back in the 60s it started, when it started taking the death penalty and doing away with it. God's word says, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. It tells them in the book of Deuteronomy that life is in the blood. And if you take a life, then your life must be also given. That's in the Old Testament. And they said, well, you know, you can't go by what the Old Testament says, because the Old Testament speaks of the law. And when I have individuals and when I have these so-called scholars come up and say,
well, we don't need the New Testament today. I mean, we don't need the Old Testament today. We're not living under the law. Yes, we are. We're living under grace, but we're also living under God's law. Where did grace come from? From God's law. Where did the New Testament come from? From the Old Testament. From God's law. It all goes hand in hand together. But I'm going to go back and say something that I don't know if any of y'all have even watched any of the news forecast anything in the last month or two or anything like that. Especially the candidate, the Republican candidate, the one that's running for trying to run and see if they can, who gonna get nominated for the run for the president. I don't know. I really don't know if they're going, anybody's going to even run or not. I mean, we got another year and another year and three months before that happens. Obama, and I'm going to call him Obama because, I mean, he's not my president, but, you know, I know he's the president of the United States, but Obama, he's got one more year in 3 months. Yeah, 3 months. Look at what he could do in 15 months. He can declare martial law. He can go back in and change all the rules that he's already done. And he can change it to the point that there will never be another presidential election, because he can set his own self up as a king. And when he becomes a king, when you set somebody up as a king, then they are king until till their death, or till they want to resign or whatever. We got 13 months. I mean, 15 months. In 15 months, what can happen? Think about it. What can happen in 15 months? A whole lot can happen in 15 months. What has happened in the last 8 months of this year, 2015? And I was watching the other day some of the Republicans, and they said something that I agree with them 100% on. They said, what's wrong with America today? And I don't know if a man's a Christian or not. He said this, what's wrong with America today? The individual is too politically correct. He said, that's what you want. He says, they're so gung-ho on one specific thing that it's got to be done this way. It's got to be done that way. Now, I know that, I don't know if y'all ever experienced it. I know that Brother Poovy was here a long time. I don't know if he even experienced any of this after he had passed away or anything, about when you had other preachers coming in. But I'll tell you something. When a man of God will get up in the pulpit and he will say to his congregation, and yes, it's his congregation, because God has put him over the congregation. And if he says,
It's going to be my way, or there ain't going to be no way at all. Then that is when he needs to get down from the pulpit. He needs to get back on his knees. And he needs to get back and cry to God and ask God to help him in doing what he needs to do. Because I don't believe God calls a man to do that. You know, I could not do that. I don't believe I could do it and try my very best to live with it. Because I fear God that much. We don't fear God. How many people did you know of that truly fear God? Truly fear God. Do we fear God enough that if we was to think one way and God wants them to do something else, that we would be to the point we'd just almost tremble standing, just trembling? We need to fear God to the point that if we're not doing exactly what he wants us to do, we need to be on the altar. We need to, it don't make no difference how many times. You need to, if we have to, we need to be on the altar every single moment, every day that we come in the church doors. And if we're not on the altar here, then we need to, when we get home or where we are at, we need to get in a house and we need to make that kitchen, the kitchen chair, an altar. We need to make a room or a closet our altar. We need to make an altar to where we can cry out to God. But we ain't cried out to God. And hey, I'm just as guilty. I haven't cried out to God like I should. I need to. If I don't cry to God, and if I don't fear God, how can I expect you to cry to God or fear God? I can't. But I do. I'm trying my very best to love him more and more every day. And maybe this message wasn't for you tonight. I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, it's for me. It's for me. And I'll tell you how much it was for me. See, I've heard it twice. The other time I heard it was at the house. But now I heard it again, here, behind the pulpit. And I need for y'all to lift me up in prayer. My prayer is that I would be closer to God than I ever have before in my lifetime. I want to fear. You say, preacher, you mean you really want to fear God? Don't you know what that was going to bring about? Yes. I do.
it's going to bring out a whole lot of things about me. But I need to fear. One thing it's going to bring out, I know by the testimony of so many individuals in the Word of God, especially one of my, I say, heroes of faith, and that's Paul. I believe that the fear that God wants to put in my life, and for me to fear that, is going to also bring me closer to Him. Well, right now, I may be this far from Him. But if I fear Him enough, it's going to close up. It's going to close up to the fact
that Satan cannot get in between me and God. That he's got to do one of two things. He's got to get behind me, like the Word of God says, get behind me, Satan. And then if he don't want to get behind me, then he's going to have to go through me to get to Jesus. And then when he gets to Jesus, then I ain't going to have to say, get behind me, Satan. Only thing I can do is then is welcome him into the family. That's how close I want to be to him. That's how close I want to be to Jesus. And I definitely want y'all to pray for me. I need it. And I'm going to say something here that I haven't said before. The reason I haven't said it is because
I didn't know anything about it, really. Been to him there going on a year and a half, a little over a year and a half. And the Lord spoke to me this week. The Lord's been dealing with me in a way like it's been a long time in coming. That there's a good possibility that I'm a hindrance to this church. The reason it's not growing. I don't want you to think about that I'm thinking about resigning. I'm not. I don't want to. What I'm asking is, if you have a spare time during the day, just pray for me. Lift me up. Because there's no reason under the sun that this church should not be running 30 or 40 or 50 people by now. And the Lord said, look at yourself. Don't look at nobody else, but just look at yourself.
are you doing what you need to be doing? And I said, Lord, I said, this past summer, I had thought about so many different things to do during the winter time. I'm going to come back into church, do this, and I come down into church. I will come down into church this summer with the intentions, not pleasing no one but my Lord. But I had all the intentions in the world of coming down here and doing what I could, mowing the grass, doing pain, do whatever I could do. And then that's when the mini stroke hit me. And it kind of put me in a stalemate. But I couldn't do it. It's not that I didn't want to. Just like right now, I would love it to be able to get out there and mow the grass. And say what money the church has been paying for somebody else to mow. But I know if I didn't get it, if I was to come out during the day one day, went up there and got on one of the mowers and mowed and cut the grass, if my dog found out about it, I would know how to worry about mowing grass. Because she wouldn't even let me mow my own grass at home. I mean, it's because she says, I'm sure she does it, she loves me that much. She don't want me to get hurt. But I don't understand why things like it come about. I just don't understand. So I got to thinking. And I asked the Lord the other day, I said, I believe I've done something wrong. Lord, because you know what I want to do. And Lord, you know what you give me? You give me Faith Baptist Church. You open the door of life. And you give me them people to look after. I'm trying my very best. I want the church to grow. And I just don't want to grow for myself. I want this church to grow and to prosper. Because of your faithfulness that you give to God. Because you've been faithful to God. You didn't want nobody else to come in and close the door. Now, if I'm wrong, tell me that I'm wrong. I don't believe that there's a soul here, and I don't believe that there's a soul here
that ever has ever thought about ever wanting to just close the door. And so we came out. And the reason you didn't is because you had that little glimmer of hope that lived in your heart. That God was going to do something. And he was going to do something special. I'm expecting God to do something special. I really am. Now I got to the point now I'm praying. And when I pray, I said, God, you said in your word, this is what you said. And you said it, we're coming to ask you for it. You said and told us that we need to come to you and say, well, God, if you say that you're God and the Word of God says that you're God, then you need to prove yourself. You need to prove unto me who you say you are. Some people say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, maybe I shouldn't. But that's what I feel. That's what I feel right now. I don't want this church to get to the point to where it's going to take just about all the funds to keep the doors open. Because you know yourself. Realistically, financially, there's no way that these doors should be open. And the only reason them doors are still open is because of your faithfulness to God. And y'all have taught me so much since I've been there. Y'all have taught me what true faith is. And we need to keep on. Because anything could happen right now. Anything could happen and take every dime that we got. I mean, the church had. And we don't want to get to that point. Yes, we need people. We need people to support God's work. But before we... I'm not expecting people just to come in for the money and for the tithes and offering. I'm not expecting for that. I just want people to come in, fall in love with Jesus. And once they fall in love with Jesus, they will give it back to him. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, God, we ask, Father, that you would just touch us, Lord, in a mighty and special way that I want to be touched. And Lord, my prayer, oh God, that I can be closer to you today than I was yesterday. And as I go through the rest of this day, that I can be closer to you when I lay my head down than I am now, Father. And as I wake up in the morning, Lord, that I can be closer to you then than than I am tonight when I lay my head down. Oh, Father, my prayer, Lord Jesus, that you'll touch these eyes. Father, that these eyes will see nothing but the handiwork of God. And Lord, that you will touch these hands, that these hands will not handle anything but the Word of God. And Father, in my speech, Lord, will not speak anything ill or hateful, Lord, to anyone at all, and that my speech will always bring about your love. And Lord Jesus, my prayer is that you'll touch these feet. That God, that these feet will just follow you. And Lord, as we go and as we do thy work, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us something to say to the people that we come in contact with. Father, that it will encourage them, strengthen them, oh Father. Yes, Lord. My prayer tonight, that you do what you say you'll do. You says if we come, we asked you, you will do it. We come in tonight, we'll ask in you, Lord Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, you will do what needs to be done here at Faith Baptist Church. Father, there's no reason why this church cannot be on fire for you, Lord. Where souls can come in and be saved. Where young people can come in and experience the love of God. Now, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, tonight, as you go with us to our respective home, Lord, that you be with us. Give us, Father, what we need for the remainder of this week. And Lord, my prayer is that you give us the message for this Sunday. Father, help us, Lord, that we may be a witness for someone this week. They can experience the love of God. In Jesus' name is my prayer. Amen and amen.
Page 252.